Last week, during Pope Benedict XVI's U.S. visit, he spoke of the damage done by clergy sex abuse. One result for the church, 6 dioceses have declared bankruptcy. They say they can't afford the legal claims by victims. The latest diocese to go bankrupt is in Alaska. From member station KUAC in Fairbanks, Libby Casey reports that priests were sent to Alaska largely unsupervised.
Cultural life in the village of St. Michael hasn't changed much since John Lockwood was a boy. Children still learn from their parents how to hunt for whale and fish for salmon. Lockwood has a story about every landmark on the small Norton Sound Island. His most vivid memories, however, are filled with pain. He looks over the windswept snow and points out the house he crawled under as a small boy instead of going to church.
My dad used to send me to church every Sunday. I'd never make it to church. I'd go hide and wait. An hour came, church finished. I'd go home like I came from church.
Lockwood was hiding from Joseph Landowski, the Catholic volunteer, came to St. Michael in the 1960s. In the remote village, he acted as the local priest's deputy, leading services, giving communion, and teaching children. Lockwood remembers him like a bear, tall with a big belly. When Lockwood was about 8 years old, Landowski attacked him after catechism class.
When it first happened to me, I got grabbed by the arms, lifted up and thrown on a bed. And I tried to fight my way. Couldn't. He was stronger than I was. Our legs, we try to kick. He tied my legs till he get to my pants, you know. That's when I lost, gave up.
Almost all of St. Michael's boys were alone with Landowski at some point, either after catechism lessons or mass. He left the village suddenly in the 1970s, but the pain he caused only grew. John Lockwood coped by drinking and says his healing started when he got up the courage to tell his story to Anchorage lawyer Ken Rosa.
The idea of a priest being prosecuted and put in jail, it was simply unthinkable.
Rosa says all of the diocese's 140 cases of sexual abuse were committed by just a dozen men, some priests and some volunteers, who traveled around the remote region.
It's practically genocidal in some villages. I tell you, there are villages where I can walk down the street and not see an adult who wasn't molested as a child.
Rosa says the abuse went unchecked because the church had so much power in rural Alaska. It was the authority, both of the afterlife and village life. There were no police departments, lawyers, or counselors, and few telephones. Many of Rosa's clients spoke English as a second language.
They didn't understand the difference between church and state. They didn't realize that there was a government that they could go to that might investigate, that might prosecute.
Rosa's firm recently settled with a Jesuit society that sent the priest to Alaska, winning $50 million for 113 victims. But it was the Fairbanks diocese that supervised the priest, and Rosa says the final step is getting the diocese to pay up. The diocese initially resisted the claims, but has since apologized for its role in the sexual abuse. Still, Bishop Donald Kettler says he simply doesn't have the money to pay all of the victims.
You know, we've always wanted to financially help people. My difficulty has always been limited resources.
Fairbanks is the only missionary diocese in the country with remote parishes staffed by traveling priests stretched thin. Kettler wants to get through the Chapter 11 court process so the church can begin making amends.
All the way through, I have attempted to bring healing the best we could. Whenever I would travel out into the bush, I would call and invite the people to come to a hearing session. I've tried to have healing services.
All John Lockwood wanted was for the diocese to burn down the old Catholic church. That never happened. Lockwood had to get married there, too ashamed to tell his wife why he was terrified to go inside. The church was finally torn down last summer, not because of the memories it held, but because it was old. For NPR News, I'm Libby Casey in Fairbanks, Alaska.